Hello, Love world, and thank radio. You. Hello, world. Thank you for tuning in to another entrance. Bambi Talk with Bambi Nicole here on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I thought that I would talk to you all about some of the importance of counseling and therapy, consulting with somebody, the importance, what, you know, it is to have to go to counseling. Now, I remember when I was younger having to begin, I was in and out of therapy, I think, personally, when I was probably seven, eight years old, when I personally started to go on into therapy. And this is kind of something that I really, truly recommend for anybody to do that is taking such major steps. And therapy is for some people and isn't for all people, but some people it certainly is. And hello there. We have a special guest here, and I want to introduce you all to Miss Arlene Love.
And hi,
I'm so sorry
about
the I'm wonderful. How are you? So sorry about the technical difficulties that I had this morning.
These things happen.
But I wanted to give everybody a little bit of an introduction to you. So can you tell us and all the viewers and callers out there who you are, Miss Arlene?
Sure. My name is Arlene Love. I live in Albany, New York. I'm a social worker and I'm a family therapist. And for about 30 years, I've been specializing in working with lesbian, gay, bi, and trans clients. Started working with the transgender community actually before the word transgender existed. So I've been doing this work for a very, very, very long time.
That's awesome. So that's a description about your work and your involvement with the trans community. Now, I have a couple questions for you, Miss Arlene, if you don't mind. Would you say is a new era dawning for trans women with shows like Transparent and the attention focused on Bruce Jenner? Do you think this is a good or a bad thing?
Well, that's kind of a great question, and I can totally see that it depends on how one looks at the media, I mean, how one views popular culture. So there's no doubt that exposure is good. I mean, you know, when I published my book, Transgender Emergence, in 2004, and I made an announcement on my professional listserv, people responded by saying, I don't know what that word means. Okay?
Wow.
So that's 10 years ago in the professional community, and the same thing was true with my students at the university. Today, everybody knows what that word means. I mean, there's not one
student
who says, I've never heard that word, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, the more there's images, the more there's people talking. I mean, is everything perfect about Transparent? I just sat and watched the whole thing a few weeks ago. No, it's not perfect. And it's not, as a Jew, it's not a perfect description of a Jewish family. But it brings media attention to it. And that means people are talking. And the more we're talking, the more people get educated. And the more people have the courage to say, tell me more about that. And the more the dialogue continues.
Absolutely, because I do remember that when I personally started my transition, I believe it like back in 2005 or whatnot, I remember that it was definitely not in the media. It was kind of one of those things, and it was almost like you had to go underground to even find help. So I could totally relate to that because I've noticed there is a new era of there's a whole lot more media coverage on the transgender community now than there was even back then. Now, despite the new openness and
I just wanted to say, you know, I just got an email this morning from one of my interns, and she noticed that the edition of People magazine was in the garbage, the new issue, which has on the cover of it, it says about Bruce Jenner, it says, he is happier now or something like that. So she said
to
me, you know, I understand why that was thrown in the garbage. But, you know, should we take it out of the garbage or should we not take it out of the garbage? And it's a very interesting thing if you just think about that. I mean, it's a very dual, and obviously they should have used she. I mean, obvious to you and me, they should have used she.
Absolutely.
Although, in truth, Bruce hasn't started using that yet. So it's very complicated.
Right.
But the message is this person is happier. So
that's
even
right.
though they got, if you will, the pronouns wrong, I mean, they're not sort of on board politically. I'm not surprised People magazine isn't. But the message out there is still this person is happier.
That's
so
exactly my point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like one of those things. It's kind of, it goes back to that old saying of to each his own. So that's it, you know, to each their own is like I like to say, because it's kind of like you said, it's pronoun anyway. And despite a new openness in the media, there are still constant troubling stories about trans women being attacked and killed. What advice do you have for women in order to protect themselves, Ms. Arlene?
Well, we also know that trans women are being killed are in higher numbers, also trans women of color. So we're looking at
right.
this sort of this intersection of transphobia, racism, and plain old sexism, right? Because women are raped
Absolutely.
In high numbers. You know, women are attacked on the streets. So, you know, one of the things for most, and I don't mean all because we all have come from different backgrounds and different experiences, but most trans women, who are especially those that are older, have lived at least part of their lives visibly as men in the world. And there's
Absolutely.
A certain privilege that comes from being a man about, you know, you
That's
go
very
and you want, you kind of walk the streets. So I think that there's a piece that I know that I work on a lot with my clients about safety issues that may not
Absolutely.
Be, yeah. So, you know, one story that I often tell is I was once in my waiting room, and there were three trans women in the waiting room, and they were talking about going out that night to go somewhere. They were going to do something. There was a party happening. And they were saying, oh, you know, on the way home from blah, 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 we'll stop and get gas. And I turned around like sort of an ardent feminist that I am and said, no, you won't get gas at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, you won't get
right.
gas at 5:30 in the afternoon before you go. And
That's
I don't
right.
mean that. Of course, everyone should be able to get gas at 2 in the morning. That's the question is not... It's not, I'm not saying that it's anyone's fault who is getting hurt. I want to just be really clear about that. But I am saying that
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we have to be really more careful than
Absolutely.
You know, perhaps we should have to be. So, you know, it's a horrible situation. And, you know, I actually want to say that I don't believe there are more trans women getting killed. I think there's more media attention. So
there
I think
you
that's
go.
An
important, I have to agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, again, it's going back to exercising the common sense. It's like not pumping gas at, you know, 2:30 in the morning, and that's kind of common sense for anybody. So I have to absolutely agree with you there. What do you think are three common fears trans women have and what they can do to ease them?
What are three common, passing, which is, I think, a big issue. You know, people, again, feel differently about it. Some people it matters more than others. But I have known, again, I'm talking as a therapist, you know, not as a political activist here, that the anxiety, the stress, the focus on the details, you know, somebody, you know, used a male pronoun, what was it that they saw, what is it that I'm doing, what's not working, what can I do differently, and almost a kind of... I'm going to use the word petty here, but, you know, like a tiny focus on, you know, do you think it's because of, you know, this one, you know, the size of my earlobes, you know, kind of thing. It's like a hyper
right.
focus on the body.
Absolutely.
And it's not that I get it. Like, I understand it. It's something women do. I mean, it's not dissimilar to women that are worried about, when I'm saying women here, in this case, I'm saying cisgender women are obsessed about their bodies or obsessed about how big or small their boobs are or whatever. So, I mean, I think it's kind of that piece, but, you know, how well do I pass? I think the other piece,
Absolutely.
I'm a family I'm a family therapist by training. And what
right.
I do a lot of work with wives, I do work with partners, I do work with children,
wow.
I do work with extended families. And that's kind of sort of the point that I made in my 2004 book. You know, it's called,
wow.
it's called Transgender Emergence, you know, gender variant people and their families. Because I see this as a family piece. So, you know, it's when you're 14 years old and your dad is transitioning, this is huge.
That's right.
When you have been married to somebody for 30 years who's then turns around to you and says, I've always been like this, and you're like, what am I, like a crazy person? Like, how could you have always been like this and I don't even know about it, you know? So
that's
the,
true.
The piece about families, I think, is a second piece, is helping people to transition in the context of families is always my first goal.
Sure.
That doesn't mean every marriage can be saved, but people can move through that process. And I think I might
Absolutely.
Have to stop it, too, because I'm not sure what the third one is. So let's not waste time with me trying to figure out what the third one is.
Those were wonderful things. Okay. But I think that the first 3 fears, I think a lot of it is, like you said, I think that we could probably summarize a lot of that in the fears of passing. I think that's a lot of the biggest fears, like you said, and I think that you covered that one perfectly, absolutely perfectly. And also,
I just thought of a third one, which is work. And again,
yes,
there's a sexist piece in there, which is that most women don't make as much money. So there's often a drop in salary. And it's
very,
just,
very,
you know, I think that transitioning at work has to be one of the hardest things in the world, you know, because there's different than family who have a commitment to you, even if they think what you're doing is crazy or they're confused by it. But
that's
people at work really don't have that, you know. So they're
right.
Just kind of like, and it's not like they're not committed to being educated. They don't have to be educated. So the awkwardness that one might feel at it, you know, here you are feeling so vulnerable and yet having
that's
to
right.
really walk into situations and pretend you're not vulnerable. And that feels really difficult and challenging to me.
Wow, wonderful explanations. I thank you so much for being a part of the show because you've nailed them all. And something for me to ask you, what about trans women who experience yo-yoing in their transition, meaning that they start, they stop, they binge, they go with hormones and clothing, and then they kind of stop? What advice can you offer to help these women truly find or understand themselves?
Okay, that's complicated. I mean, it's really complicated.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I totally agree. And I see a lot of the detransition and things like that in our community as well.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, so the question is sort of why. I mean, is it religious? I mean, I had one client who did that because they were raised Mormon and their family was really rejecting and they just really couldn't stand not being connected to their family. Like, it just was too painful. I know another person who had done that, you know, also for, in a religious context, on and off for almost 20 years I've worked with this person. So, you know,
wow.
At each stage, they kind of come out more. They kind of come out more to the kids. One person just had some, you know, somewhat minor, but some facial feminization work done. So she's
sure.
passing a little better, which mattered a lot to her, but is still going back and forth, is still working as a male. I mean, it's very complicated. So I guess what I would say, and again, I'm talking as a therapist, not as a political activist, although I have both of those hats. They're different. And as a therapist,
absolutely.
What I have to say is people have to have their own rhythm. You know, there's not a right,
absolutely.
There's not a wrong, there's not a bad, there's not a good. We grow at our own pace. And I also don't always know 100% of the time that quote-unquote
right.
being out or fully out is, you know, the goal. Like, that's the only goal in the entire world. So I'll just share with you. I had one client I worked with who had started dealing with being trans as a 20-year-old, had actually lived part-time as a 30-year-old, had lived full-time, rather, as a woman in her 30s. I didn't meet her until she was well into her 40s. She was married to a woman. She was out to the woman who had issues, you know, it was an ongoing issue in therapy about what was okay, what wasn't okay, how much time she dressed as a woman was okay, where she, you know, there was a constant piece. And it took years.
Absolutely.
But we worked out this balance where my client got to live a portion of her life as a woman, and it was an active portion. I mean, she was involved in a church community. She was involved in part of the trans community. She had social
wow.
events. She had eventually retired, so she had a lot of time. But mostly really lived her life as a man in a marriage that she
absolutely.
Loved, she was really happy in, and we continued to kind of, you know, negotiate sort of, if you will, the small details, like I mentioned before, if you will, how low she could shave her chest. Okay?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, she wanted a leather-cut shirt, and the wife is saying, you know, not that low. And, you know, on some level, these are sort of the stupid details all couples deal with, you know what I mean? You know, you will do the dishes,
sure.
you will not do the dishes, you know. So they worked it out, but I guess the point that I want to make is for my client, this was not about being closeted or being inauthentic. It was about making
absolutely.
Sense of two
sure.
difficult things. One, I'm trans, and one, I love my wife. And I have to find a medium ground. So that, to me, isn't a failure. That's a success.
Absolutely. Wow. And then it just goes to show you that everybody's in different stages and different places in life, you know, when they may do or transition, or some may transition and some may, you know, they might have to live one part, you know, this way and one part that way. Wow, what an awesome.
I just want to make the point that that's why I'm saying I'm talking as a therapist. Because as a political activist, I get the message. I could see somebody saying, that person is living a lie. You know, she should come out all the way. Her wife should get on board. I mean, I get all of those messages. And
speaking of when somebody should come out, when do you personally think that a trans person should start talking to, like, their friends or family about the process? Or how is it best for them to, like, break it down to their kid?
Well, the biggest issue with children is what age they are. So the younger children are, the more this is no big deal. You know, little children don't know the rules of the world. They don't know that people should or shouldn't have tattoos. They don't know, you know, how money comes out of those little things in the walls, you know, the little ATMs. You know, go get more money, Mom.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't know. They don't know the rules. So to say to a four-year-old, you know, Daddy wants to be a woman, they're like, okay. You know, I often share a story that a client I was working with told his son that he was going to live as a woman, and the son looked at him, he was 4 years old, and said, does that mean you're not going to watch Monster Trucks with me anymore?
Gosh, that's,
and the father,
cute.
You know, the
no,
father was like, I will always watch Monster Trucks with you, honey. Oh, okay, that's great, because that's what mattered to a four-year-old.
Absolutely.
You know, what matters,
absolutely.
Will you be to me who you always have been? Is that going to change? Because they don't really care whether you're wearing nail polish or not. That's not in their world. Obviously, talking
right.
to a 16-year-old boy, they have a whole
right.
bunch of other issues. So I often say it's possible, you know, come out before their teens or after they're adults. But that middle stage of, yeah, of adolescent years, I mean, obviously some people have to come out then because there it is. But it's just very hard because the kids are dealing with their own identities, their own sexuality, their own gender, their own sense of manhood or femalehood and the world and all that they're dealing with. And what they care about more than anything is how they appear. I mean, that there's nothing more important to a teenager. You know, I just went with my 19-year-old up to his school to do something yesterday. And, you know, I was literally just walking. I mean, I wasn't doing anything but walking. And he kept saying, you're embarrassing me. You know, like, you know, parents are just embarrassing. Like, their presence, like, their breathing is embarrassing.
That's
and
very true.
So, yeah, so, you know, having your dad be a woman is just embarrassing. It's not, they just can't, it's very hard to get past. They're embarrassed when their mother, you know, changes her hairstyle. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's hard. I mean, I don't have, like, a quick answer for it. What I can say is, you have to prepare that it's going to be hard.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is another part that I wanted to bring up. You know, some therapists tell their trans patients to avoid futurizing what can happen in transition, so not to assume things that are coming down the line. Other therapists believe one shouldn't transition without a complete plan. What do you recommend for your clients when it comes out to mapping mm-hmm. their transition?
Well, what I sort of recommend to everybody is, you know, what's that expression, the best laid plans, you know? So, you know, one should plan, and then one should always be prepared to take a detour if necessary. So I think that's what I would say. And people are really different. I mean, that if there's anything that I've learned in this process of walking hundreds and hundreds of people through transition, you know, there are people
sure.
that walk into my office and say, you know, I am transitioning, I am coming out next Thursday at my, you know, big job at the hospital, and I'm like, no, like, slow down, there's an explosion, and they do it, and it's fine, and, you know, within 6 months, they're living full-time. And, you know, and
wow.
I have other people that have taken 10 years to go through that same process, so I just think, like everything, you know, like if you said to me, you know, should my 19-year-old go from college to graduate school or should they take a break? It depends on
absolutely.
The 19-year-old. You know, there's not like a one-size-fits-all way to transition because different
that's
people,
right.
I mean, you know, economics is an issue. You know, what's your geographical
absolutely.
Area you live in? What kind of social supports do you have? I mean, all of these things are going to make a difference you know, your own
Absolutely.
Sense of comfort or shame in your own being. I mean, some of us are just shyer than others, you know. That so it's so difficult to tell your boss, because not just because of the issue, but because everything is difficult. There are other people like me, you know, that are just sort of more blazing about life. So,
That's
you know,
right.
you just kind of walk in and you say what you have to say, and people will either deal or won't deal. You know, there's a difference
That's
between
very,
coming
very
from,
true.
So, you know, simply coming from Brooklyn and, you know, a small rural area in Oklahoma. You know,
Absolutely.
We're just different people because of our backgrounds.
I have to completely agree with you there. And you know, and we were, and it's funny because we were talking about earlier the basis of passing. But as a therapist, would you say it is more essential to have, you know, because a lot of people in our community, we feel like everything is about passing. But wouldn't you say it's more of a matter of inner confidence than it is, you know, your outer appearance at the end of the day with this journey?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. So I would say that younger trans women tend to care less about passing. Again,
yeah.
That's a generalization. I mean, you know, human beings vary. But certainly it's true that older trans women, that is a sort of chronic and painful issue that I think is a focus of therapy, is you know, accepting myself as I am, doing the best that I can, and realizing that there are going to be ways that I might look different than other women do, and that may, in some situations, cause people to be confused, distressful, angry, hostile, and I need to learn skills on how to manage that in the world. And there are ways
Absolutely.
To do that. And if I can share with you a story, this is a client of mine about 20 years ago told me this story. She unfortunately died of a heart attack a number of years ago, and she would love this story to be told on the radio now. She lived in a somewhat small town in upstate New York. She did not pass very well at all. And I'm just saying, she would say that if she were here.
Sure.
She worked at a Pizza Hut. And there was a bunch of local kids in this neighborhood that were tormenting her. They were tormenting her. They were yelling things at her. And this is how she handled it. And I want to be really clear. I didn't coach her in this. She coached me in this, okay? She taught me this. So what
Wow.
she did is she baked two pizzas and put them out on a nice summer day. And as the kids were sort of yelling these comments, she said, why don't you come have free pizza? Which, of course, very few 14, 15, 16-year-olds are going to say no to that. And they
Absolutely.
Came over to get the pizza, and one of them turned around to her and said in this horrible voice something like, you know, why are you so ugly and what the fuck is wrong with you, or something like that, you know. And she said, do you want me to tell you my story? And she talked about all of the things that you and I know. I've always felt this way. This is who I am. It was a very difficult decision. You know, I lost
sure.
my wife and my children over this. I mean, she just told her story. And these
hoodlums
turned around and said to her, I am so sorry that that happened to you, and I am so proud of you for living your life. And they became her defenders in the neighborhood. That every time someone would say something, the hoodlums would go up to them and be like, you will not talk to her that way, you know? So
that's right.
To me, you know, and I get it, not everybody can do that. But
Absolutely.
What she did is she taught them heart to heart, human being to human being, about who she was. And
Absolutely.
I think that's, you know, that's all of our work, is to be able to say, I know that when you look at me or hear my story, that you have judgments about me. You have stereotypes about me.
Sure.
You have prejudice, prejudgment about who I am. But I think human to human, when we understand each other, that
Absolutely.
People's minds and hearts shift. So,
and to open up a lot more.
Yeah, and you have to risk, I mean, there's a risk involved for trans women about that. You know, there's a risk of making eye contact and saying, there's a human being here.
You know, that this has just been a magical episode with you. I didn't realize, like, I mean, it's just like the time, it's just like you're so informative, and you're so, and I'm so thankful that you have come on the show to talk about everything that we've talked about today, because you are a very informed person. Ms. Arlene, before we kind of have to end the show here in another 5 minutes, I did want you just to kind of reiterate to everybody about the book that you have out as well.
Yes. So the first thing I want to say is people can go to my website, which is www.entranceconsulting.com. And you can see a little bit about my services and some of my writing. My articles are on there, the website. I've written two books. One is a clinical book on transgender experience. It's written for clinicians, although I think it is fairly readable for anybody that enjoys it. It's a little dense, but I think that lots of people have said they've read it who are not clinicians. And I'm actually working on an updated version of that now because, as we know, our community has changed so dramatically over the last...
Absolutely. It seems like it changes every hour.
The other book that I wrote is called The Complete Lesbian and Gay Parenting Guide. And I just want to say it's not just about lesbians and gays. And this is probably an instructive story, too. It was published by Penguin Press. And my working title was How Queer Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Parenting. They wouldn't use the word queer on the cover. They wouldn't use the word bisexual or transgender on the cover. This is 2004. But I just want to assure everybody who picks it up that every single chapter deals in part with also transgender issues as parents. So I always feel terrible that it's not in the title, because I can totally imagine nobody who's transgender would ever think it has anything to do with them, but it really does, and it was it's part of the transphobia of the publishing profession in 2004 that it's not clearer on the title of the book. So those are my two books, and I also will tell people that I run a training program. It's called Tigris, the Institute for Gender, Relationships, Identity, and Sexuality, and we do trainings online. We do trainings internationally. We come to schools. We go to agencies. We go to organizations. And I'd love to tell you that the website is live, but I'm actually in the middle of working on it, so it should be live in probably about 2 or 3 weeks now.
I'm hoping that you contact me so that I can certainly put that out there as soon as that's live as well. Your website.
I will absolutely do that. It's a place for therapists that are in isolated areas where they can get online consulting and clinical supervision. So that's what's really exciting about it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I have had an absolute wonderful time here. I absolutely thank you so much for stopping by. You again at www.choiceconsulting.com. Make sure that you check out the website. Miss Arlene, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here on the show. Thank you for coming in, talking about your book. Thank you for having this conversation. I have had an absolute wonderful time. And thank you so much for being a guest here and for speaking to our community.
Thank you so much, Bambi. It was lots of fun. Take care.
Absolutely. And again, as soon as Miss Arlene, as soon as she gets that website live, I'm going to absolutely make sure that I leave the information for everybody that's listening in on the show.
Great. Thank
you so much, Miss Arlene, and you have a nice day. So callers, again, thank you for tuning in to this taping of Entranced with Bambi Nicole. Here we had a very special guest, Ms. Arlene Lev. She is a therapist and a social worker, and she's specializing with the LGBT community. Again, like I said, feel free to check out her website. She has had some wonderful input here on this taping today. We got a lot of topics covered. I felt like we covered almost everything from passing to when to come out to your family to the critical points to, and I think that the most important thing is that Ms. covered was the fact that we all transition at different stages and that not one transition is right for everybody, and that there isn't, you know, you don't have to necessarily always decide that, you know, you're going to, this is a process, and you don't have to come out today and start doing everything magical tomorrow, because it truly doesn't happen. Everything's a journey, everything's a process, and we do things in our own time. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to check me out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Bambi Show. Check the YouTube channel out, www.youtube.com/Bambi Show. And again, I will see and hear from you all next week here Thursday, our time on Entranced with Bambi. And also, again, very special shout out. Thank you, Miss Arlene Lev, www.choiceconsulting.com. And of course, you all, if you want to call in, if you have a show idea, if you want to be a part of it, if you have some valuable input, don't forget 347 884 8177. Thank you for listening to this taping, and I will see and hear from you all again our time next week. All right. Have a great day, y'all. Bye. Okay.